If you want to turn to Philippians 4, begin through 2 through 7 is where we're going to be looking today. And so this summer we're taking a moment to truly understand what it means to have like the DNA of a church, and we've talked about having a life of worship or living a life of worship the last several weeks to truly place ourselves before the altar as a living sacrifice each and every day. Not just on Sundays or on Wednesdays when we come together, but each and every day to worship God fully and completely with every part of our lives, a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year until God calls us home type worship. And we finished up that concept of living a life of worship last week, and we're going to move into living a life in prayer because basically, communication is the number one killer in relationship, whether it's a relationship between husband and wife, brother and sister, brothers and brothers, friendships, whether it's within an organization, the lack of communication or the poor communication that happens is what kills the organization or that kills the relationship, because when we aren't communicating properly, we can't truly speak what's on our heart. We can't truly move forward in a productive manner. Well, we have this gift of prayer, this ability to communicate amongst each other with God that we need to understand, that we need to be engaged in, that we need to be truly 100% committed to. And we're going to take a look at that today in the sense of why do we do prayer? Why was the church commanded to do prayer and how we use it? And then next week we're going to talk about the different types of prayer that the church as a body enters into, that we as individuals enter into, so we can understand truly where prayer is in our lives and how we're to kind of handle prayer in the sense of making it worthy of God inside of our day. And this isn't a formatted prayer. This isn't just you need to pray in the Lord's Prayer, but to offer yourself up in worship, right? That's why we started with worship, is that all things that we do need to be a worship unto God, and our prayer life needs to be the same way. So if you could please stand with me as we read from Philippians 4, verses 2 through 7. I implore Euodiae, and I implore Syntyche, to be the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's bow our head in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift our hearts up in prayer. We lift our minds up in prayer. We lift our life up in prayer to you. Let us with joy in our heart, with all supplication, with all understanding, with all thanksgiving, let us come into prayer before you today. For we wish to know your wisdom. We wish to draw upon it, to let it change our hearts, to grow us into what you will us to be. And so, Lord, touch us today as we study prayer and communication with you. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. So here we have an opening letter. And we hear an encouragement to two women in the church to be of the same mind in the Lord, to be a true companion, to help these women as they labored in the gospel with Paul, with Clement also. And so what Paul's talking about is he's saying, listen, I want you two to come together in the same mind. I want you all to be of the same mind. In fact, I want all of you who are in the book of life, all who have accepted Jesus Christ, to be of the same mind, to rejoice in the Lord always, so much so that he says it a second time. He repeats it for the emphasis upon it. Continues on, he says, let the gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he gives them the command to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What he's saying to this young church is that in prayer, you can lose anxiousness. You can lose that anxiety that sits upon you. In prayer, you can come to an understanding that God is with you. It's also the root that goes back up into 2, where he says, of the same mind. See, that's one of the things that prayer does for us, is it helps us to move as one body. Because when we come together and we pray, there's a great understanding of what the body is for. When we sit together and we pray over someone who's sick, there's an understanding that we all want to be with that person. We all want to be in relationship with that person in the sense of friendship or true fellowship with God in that moment. And there isn't a question in our minds when we enter into prayer in that way. Prayer helps us understand each other. How many of you have a hard time communicating, but when you talk to God, you can open up and be honest? How many of you can say something in prayer when you're in a group that you'd probably never say outside of that prayer? A lot of us have that because we feel empowered as we pray to just be honest and truthful, to have our heart be shown just a little bit more than what we normally allow it to be shown for. See, prayer gives us this inward look into our heart, and it gives us our inward look into the heart of our brother or our sister. And Paul understood that as he talks to him. To rejoice in the Lord always, to let your gentleness be known to all men in this prayer, to ask, to come forward, to be in that moment with thanksgiving, and to open up and let God know what we want as a church or what we want as an individual. Another thing that prayer can do for us, we see here, is to be an encouragement to each other. Have you ever had that day when you're walking in and it's just been one of those tough days and a brother or sister and Christ wraps their arm around you and just sits there and says, hey, brother, I'm praying for you. Or maybe they share a prayer for you at that moment. Doesn't that lift you up just a bit? Doesn't it just give you a little bit of a step in your, or a little bit of a bounce in your step to kind of move you forward, to give you a little bit more energy, maybe a little bit more strength to continue on with that day? See, prayer, when we come together and we share our concerns with each other, our concerns for each other, it's encouraging to ourselves. I can remember one day after about 3 weeks in Iraq, I was talking to a friend of mine via email, and we were chit-chatting back and forth, you know, so, you know, a little bit of a delay. I'd send one at, you know, what it was about midnight their time, and I'd get it back. And there was a really difficult day that we had. But a miracle had happened that day. An IED had been placed and it hadn't gone off on us because of a mistake that had been made. And we weren't where we were supposed to be at the time that the thing went off. We had taken a wrong route. We had had a scout unit come in that was supposed to know their way in and they got us lost. This is a blessing for us. We were thinking we were going into a very bad part of town and it actually ended up saving us. And so an IED discharged. Well, I found out about 2 weeks later that a gentleman back here in Wisconsin had been praying at that almost exact moment, to the best of our knowledge, that we could figure out after going back and forth, because he's like, man, I just felt that I needed to pray for you. And he said he hit his knees and he started praying, and I'm like, well, when did it happen? Just out of curiosity. And he told me, and I went back to our logs, because, you know, the military keeps logs on everything. I was able to figure out pretty close to when that event happened and when he was praying. We were within a few minutes, one way or another. I can tell you from that moment on, knowing that people back here were praying for me, I felt much safer than I did when I was there before. See, prayer encourages us. It lets us know that we care about each other and that we're never walking alone. By a show of hands and honesty, and this is a heart check, how many people have felt that they've walked at some point in their life alone? Most of us do. We feel like, even if it's only for a short little period of time, that we're just, there's nobody there that can help us, that the situation is too dire, it's too complicated to bring other people in, and we just can't have other people with us. But see, the promise is that he is with us always, and when we pray for him to be present, and when we pray for each other to have that presence, we are never alone. We talked about how prayer helps us move as one as we communicate, when we talk to each other in prayer. See, communication, that's all prayer is the communication amongst the body between us and God. And it helps us to be at ease in times of need. We've all felt that. We've all felt that time when stress was just so intense on us that we hit our knees and we pray and we feel God lifted off of our shoulders. And sometimes he doesn't lift it all the way off, and sometimes we have to carry that burden for a little while to truly move through a time. But I've never, ever known someone that has sat down and prayed and looked back upon all the time that they've spent in prayer and said it was a waste of time. See, there's a faithfulness to God in our prayer. That's why he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Because God's ears are never deaf, and he hears us each and every time that we come to him. And no matter how busy the party line gets and how many different voices are there, yes, I just used something that was even before my time. But no matter how busy that party line gets and how many voices are there, he can hear you. And so we can not be anxious about it anymore. We can pass it on and sit there and say, God, here it is. I know that you are with us. Please walk with us in this. And the base of what Paul's talking about here is, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, which God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. To let your gentleness be known to all of men. See, when we come to prayer and we can release that anxiety, what the world sees is something different than what the world experiences in a praying Christian. I can't speak enough to the need to pray. Not just as an individual, but as a church. We have to come together. You can see in this moment of teaching, Paul brings in how many different names? 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm not going to try doing the first two again because, man, that's just, I got to actually slow down and say those. But, you know, you got the first two, the companion, and then Clement. It's all there. Four people he's talking about in this that he wishes that through prayer will be of like mind, that will come together and be united. Because guess what? When more of us come together and we pray, it's hard to be against what's being prayed for, as long as it's within the will of God. It softens hearts as we pray together. Have you ever sat with someone beside a sick bed or maybe a hurt relationship and prayed with that person and been able to sit there as you've opened your heart before God and carry anger into it? Probably not. See, prayer moves us into a place of not us anymore, but of God being in the moment. So some further looking at prayer, if we turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, it reads, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So after Jesus gives his final words and is called up and ascends, what we see here is that they retreat into the upper room, and the first thing they do is they go into prayer together. So at a time of probably heartache and brokenness that I'm sure they were amazed, and there was huge amounts of glory and just awe in the sense of seeing God return. Now they had to do this on their own, and there's probably fear and concern. They'd seen what they had done to Jesus. They were pretty sure that that was going to be on their docket too eventually. And what do? They pray. They retreat into a quiet space where they feel they're safe and they pray. See, prayer is the natural response for the church while waiting for Jesus to return. And it's where we need to be on a regular basis because it's the way we communicate with God until he does return, until we see Jesus Christ again. We need to communicate through prayer. These men were preparing, these women were mourning and preparing for whatever God was doing with them. The brothers of Jesus, who didn't even like him a whole lot, we see in other parts of Scripture, were all there praying. Why? Because it's a sharing of heart, it's a coming together, so the church itself is called to pray. That's why we take prayer so seriously here. That's why we do prayer cards and we ask for people who are coming to our church for the first time to open up and share in prayers, because we believe that that is truly what unites us in Jesus Christ, is our prayer amongst each other for one another and for what God's will is. And so they came here to pray, to wait. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, to wait to hear what Jesus' words were going to come to light and be real in. They were waiting for the power of God. And so when we are waiting to see what God's doing, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in supplication. In other words, in asking for what God will do. And so we must maintain prayer in our lives as a church, as a body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So here Paul's teaching of the armor of God that we talk about, putting on and preparing for the battle that is to come, to be really living a life in Christ is what the armor of God really kind of paints for us, is to put on all of Christ, everything that he was and he has given us. But we're to do this in prayer and to always be praying. Have you ever had one of those days where it seemed like the constant words out of your mouth were a prayer? Maybe it was during a time of need or a time of stress, or maybe it was just out of joy. Maybe it was a long car ride and you just got in that mood where you just wanted to talk to God for a while. But that's what he's talking about here, is to be constantly in communication with God through prayer, constantly amongst each other in prayer. And in that, we develop a perseverance and a supplication for all the saints. So in other words, an asking for all the saints to be blessed. I find it funny that he ends his conversation about the armor of God saying that prayer is the key to it, that this must be the thing that is constant, that while we put on the others, this is the thing that we must constantly do. So in other words, as we prepare ourselves for battle, the best way to do that is in prayer, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And this develops perseverance. Have you ever had that time when you're just waiting, you're so anxious, you don't know what to do, you got that vibration almost going on, and then you start to pray. You start to kind of hear God's voice in the back, and it takes away that anxiousness. It takes away the anxiety that comes with it. And we find ourselves a little bit calmer and a little bit more peaceful. If you ever notice, I sit here on the last, or not always the last song, but one of the last songs as we get as we're going through the worship and music. And you'll see me, and I'll be seated. It's not because I don't like what's going on up here. It's not because, but I'm praying. I'm praying for God to calm my heart, to be present in the message that I'm about to deliver. Because I know if I step up here without the presence of the Holy Spirit, without God's will being in this message, it's for naught, and I'll be a nervous wreck. Even after 4 years plus of preaching in front of you, and after doing chaplaincy for almost 10 years now, I still get nervous to deliver a message. I still get nervous to be heard giving God's word. Not because I'm ashamed or I'm worried about what it said, but because I'm human and I get anxious that I'll screw up or that I'll get something wrong. But that prayer that I do at the beginning eases my mind and it settles my nerves and allows me to get up here and truly listen to what God has to say and deliver the message that he's delivering to you today through this. If you don't practice that, the prayer before a big thing, I encourage you to do it. See how it works for you. Next time you're going into a big important meeting, or maybe there's a long drive and you don't like driving, or something else is going on in your life that you don't like and you start feeling anxiety, come before God and pray in that moment. As leaders, we need to do that before we move forward on the church. We need to pray about where God's moving us to ease our minds and to bring us into His will and His understanding, and not to be pursuing that of the world when it comes to it. As parents, something we should all practice is before we have a return on a question or before we get angry about something, is to pray. And I know that's very difficult. I struggle with that myself. But just to pray for the moment that God soften our heart or bring wisdom to the situation, and then let that be what drives what we have to say about a situation. It's not always easy, but it's something we should try to do. As believers in Christ, as we share the word of the gospel with people out in the community, as we come into those moments, as we're being prepared to do the work that God has called us on and has planned for us for however long He's been on your heart, pray. And let it be Him who drives the conversation and not us. See, in Ephesians, all the preparation of putting on the armor of God is solidified by entering into prayer. And so we are not truly prepared to enter into the battlefield of the spiritual warfare that we're entering into, or into doing what God has called us, until we have prayed over the situation and into the situation. And so out of Ephesians, we learned the lesson that prayer is there to prepare us for the work that God wants us to do or has planned for us. We can't go into anything and expect God to be there if we haven't invited Him into the situation first and foremost. Because there's all too many times that we will bring ourselves into it. And He will stay back because we haven't invited Him into it. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it reads, "Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here the author of Hebrews is telling us that we're to boldly step before the throne and ask God to bring His will into the situation that we're at. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, because of who Jesus Christ is in our lives, we should have no shame to enter into the altar room or into the throne room, kneel before the Lord and make the request, to boldly do so. That boggles my mind. In fact, it took me a long time to wrap around that even in salvation, even in the blood of Christ, that I still had the power to walk into God's throne and make a request, because I still didn't consider myself worthy. But here, there's such a huge point of our faith, is that because of what Christ has done, we no longer have to be ashamed, and we can enter in prayer and make the request. And so if we take all these together, we start understanding this depth of prayer and the need for it inside the church. And a church that doesn't pray together, a church that doesn't practice this individually and as a body, is not on solid ground. Because prayer binds us together and allows us to know each other. It strengthens us as we hear other voices pray for the situation we find ourselves in. It aligns us that we may know what the heart of the body is, that we can all come together under and around. And most of all, it places us before the throne of God. It brings us before Him to hear His will, to hear His wisdom, and to still it upon our heart. See, this is why it is so important for a church to practice prayer. This is why we must do it on a regular basis. Because if we don't pray together, we're not together. If we don't lift each other up, we're not encouraging each other. If we don't stand amongst each other during hard times, then we're not supporting each other and we're not being the body.
So prayer must be part of our DNA as a church. As much as worship is, prayer must also be. And so as we leave today, as we head out in throughout this week, I challenge you to pray individually. But I also challenge you to pray occasionally as a body. Make phone calls to each other. Send text messages. Let each other know that you care for each other enough that you're spending time before the throne, boldly hoping, boldly requesting that God's will be found in their lives. To let them know that you truly care enough that you spend time before God in their name. To see God's will in their life and in yours. Let each other know that you do this. When it happens upon your mind, let people know that you're praying for them. You don't have to tell them for what all the time. It's not a prideful thing like, look, I prayed for you today. It's just simply, hey, God put you on my heart today. And we leave it at that. But church, we need to be constantly in prayer for each other, for ourselves, for God's will to be found in this church and in this community. Because if we aren't, then we can't guarantee that God's even showing up because we're not inviting him into the situation. So please pray for each other. Please come together in prayer. When I ask for prayer requests, please give them out. Let the veil to your heart be broken away because God already knows the truth that sits there. And let us all pray for you. May you find strength in knowing that you're not alone in whatever battle you're coming against, or whatever stress you're walking through, or whatever trial you're going through. Be honest with God and open your heart in prayer. Because when we can pray openly, when we can pray with our whole heart and take it away, then we're truly offering prayer in a worshipful way because it's a true relationship that we're seeking because we know that God is who he is, as Hebrews tells us. That because of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done, we can boldly go before the throne. And we can ask for the grace and the mercy that we so longingly want in our lives. And so today we're going to take a few moments to practice this. Are there any prayer requests? All right. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift this up in prayer, for we know that you have sacrificed much to draw us close to you. And this is a sign of your love for us, and so therefore we boldly come before your throne and we make these requests. We ask that you be with Erin, that she may have a heart to be here on a weekly basis for her heart, but also for her children's hearts, Lord. That they may grow up in a way of knowing who you are, to follow you, to come into your presence. Ask for help for Deb, who is recovering from surgery, but also from the heart complications that came with that surgery and the side effects that have come from that. And for Bev, we ask that you help remove her anxiety and depression, that she may just know your peace and your mercy upon her, Lord God, that she lift up those concerns to you and just release them onto you, Lord. We ask for Ryan to be drawn close to you, God, to know who you are and to look past religion and look past all the faults of humanity inside religion, but just to see you, God, and to be who you will him to be, and to be with Greg as he continues to battle his battle and struggle against his addictions. And Lord God, he's been introduced to you so many times. And I think he knows who you are. He's too scared to just accept it. And so God, we just ask that you soften his heart, that he can step and let his pride be broken down and just come into your presence and know who you are. Lord, we lift up Grace and the other staff as they continue to serve students and counselors as they come through, Lord. We just ask for safety over them, but that also true fellowship can be had, that your word may be known, that your wisdom may be listened to, and that hearts will be changed, and even some will come to truly know who you are as they serve in this capacity. We ask that you be with Luke as he struggles emotionally to just find his way and to know what it means to be in your presence and to be driven by your will, God, and to be accepting of that. We ask that you be with Dave and Jamie as they approach their adoption, but also that you be with the birth mother of their child that they're to adopt, that she chooses things wisely so that her child isn't affected for the rest of their life. Lord God, we ask for your hand of protection over that child, but also over the mother, that she can know your mercy, your grace, and that she may know the worth that you have in her. Lord, we ask that you be with the Brennemans as they prepare to head over to Germany. Sorry, Brennemans. I don't know what I'm doing. As they prepare to head over to Germany, I ask that you be with Luke over the next 5 weeks as he adjusts to a life that he hasn't known for quite a while, and that's just bachelorhood. And Lord, just let them have joy and fellowship as they go and they visit family and as they prepare to reunite back over in Germany and see that again. We ask that you be with Noah as he comes to know you, Lord God, that you draw him into your presence, along with Brianna. Lord, anytime that our family doesn't know you or doesn't understand it, Lord God, we feel that angst in our hearts because we know the joy that you bring. We know the reward of eternal life and salvation through you, Lord Jesus. We just will it upon, but it needs to be their decision. It's not something we can make for them, Lord. And so we just hope that they know who you are, that they come into your presence, and that they accept you for who you've shown yourself to be, and to push all of humanity aside and just see you in your glory and in your love. Lord, we lift up Dahlia's case to you as she goes into being placed with the Zychecks. And Lord God, just put your hand on that. Sometimes these things can take so long, and the longer it takes, just the longer it is for a little girl to find her true home, Lord God. But we also ask that you reach out with her birth parents, Lord God, to remove them from their addictions and their unwillfulness to just be part of the normal society, God. I just ask that you be in that situation also. Finally, Lord, we just ask that you place a hand of safety and protection over everybody who has to deal with these heat waves, those who have to work out in the weather, and those who have to live without air conditioning and things that make it bearable, Lord God. And we just ask that you're with them, and that if they need to be in a place that's cool, that others come along and offer it up. Lord God, we just ask that you place a hand of wisdom and discernment over this church, that you send your Holy Spirit before us into the community to touch hearts, that they may know who you are, Lord God. And we ask that you encourage us and strengthen us to do your will, to be your body in this community, to love as you love, to provide for those who have not when we can. Lord God, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.